Good afternoon, everybody. It's me, Kevin Stevenson, and thanks for joining me today on this day's episode of I Don't Care with Dr. Kevin Stevenson. Yeah, that's me. So here we go. As always, I appreciate you joining me. You've got lots of other things to do. You've got lots of other podcasts to listen to, but I appreciate you coming to me for your healthcare and leadership information. And so today's guest is, he's a real inspiration. And I think you're going to enjoy hearing his story and how he's overcome many, many odds in his life. Norberto Orellano, welcome to I Don't Care.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you, Norberto. Norberto is currently the Business Development Associate at Powder River Surgery Center in Gillette, Wyoming. And he's got an incredible story. You know, he's a young healthcare guy. And congratulations. He was sharing with me that this summer he's going to become an administrative fellow with Intermountain Health. He wants to become a healthcare CEO. I've got a few minutes to talk him out of that, and we'll see if we can do that later on. But Norberto, just, you know, I'd love for you just to tell my audience a little bit about you, about your life. You know, I know that you've done some motivational speaking. People have called your rise in your life and into your career meteoric, and we're going to talk about your book by that same title. So just share a little bit about, you know, your journey.
Yeah. So my journey to healthcare has been really interesting because by training, I am an organic chemist, actually. You know, originally growing up, I did want to go into healthcare. I originally wanted to be a provider. Through long wraparound story, that it didn't end up being the case. I pursued a PhD in organic chemistry. But while I was in that program, I knew I really wanted to get back into healthcare because it was something I was really passionate about. And I wanted to be more directly involved than being behind a fume hood working with test tubes. I grew up with cerebral palsy and had so many surgeries growing up. And through those experiences, I wanted to be able to give back in the ways that I received. So that really drew me towards healthcare. But, you know, such a huge part of my journey has been driven by the circumstances I came from. And so what I'll do is I'll tell you one specific story that changed everything for me. So I was 17 at the time, and I was sitting on a bus. It was like 11 p.m. returning from night college classes. I was one of those nerds taking classes over the summer at my local community college. And as I was on this bus, you know, a lot of anxiety started to build in me because my family had become homeless again. This was multiple occasions at this point. We were going through chronic homelessness. And I was wondering to myself, where's home going to be that night? Is it going to be a motel? Is it going to be a car? Or is it going to be nowhere at all? And my concerns were also, would my mom be drunk and would my dad be high? It was a dice roll. And those thoughts quickly turned to myself. You know, how am I going to get through this? Am I working hard enough? Will I get through this? But as all these thoughts were going on in my head, someone else on the bus turned over to me and he started joking with me. He was like, what in the world is someone like you doing on a bus this late at night? And the reason he said that is because I was wearing a lab coat, dress shirt, and tie. Wearing formal attire had become kind of like a coping mechanism for me. Really, really strong one. It's kind of like fake it till you make it. And, you know, that habit became so strong that to this day, you will not find me outside of a suit and tie. I joke with my colleagues, you know, if you see me in jeans, call for help immediately. Something's wrong. But I started telling this man on the bus my story, and you could see his face, you know, go from joking to really serious because of what I was talking to him about my situation. And everyone in the bus slowly started paying attention. It's like the story just started spreading from front to back. And by the end of that, you know, I had really focused on who I wanted to become, the things that I wanted to do. And I remember he started clapping couple other people did. And all of a sudden, this bus has broken out into a round of applause. And it was at that moment that I decided this was not the life that I was meant to live, that I was more than my homelessness, that I was more than the abuse that I grew up around, that I could do more. And, you know, like many of the folks listening into this podcast, you know, I faced a lot of moments where the weight of the world has come down upon me and I felt alone, uncertain, and afraid. And in those moments, there's been something inside of me that has always said, I can do more, I can be more, I can say more, and I can live more. And I believe that everyone in the world, everyone listening to this podcast, has something inside of them too that knows they can do more, that knows they can achieve what they put their minds to. And so that's a huge part of what led me to where I am today, because my passion, other than healthcare, is just helping people achieve their dreams. I should have been a statistic, and my goal is to flip those statistics. My story shouldn't be an exception, it should be the norm. Because the thing I always say is there is nothing particularly special about me, no talent, no gift, other than realizing our capacity to overcome adversity and to achieve greatness. And what I would love is to help as many people as possible in the world realize that they have that power too, and that they are more than their circumstances. Yeah. And so in a nutshell, that's my story.
That's incredible. You know, and it's a story that I hear so often in healthcare. People tend to gravitate to healthcare when they've gone through some level of adversity. I know many of our physical occupational therapists, speech therapists, have gone through illnesses or were athletes or something like that, and somebody made a difference in their life. You know, nursing, same thing. You know, it's somebody, you know, they were ill as a young child, and a nurse was particularly kind to them, or a physician, you know, helped them in their healing journey, and that's the route that they wanted to go. Or, you know, somebody like me, you know, I came from outside of the healthcare industry my first 4 years out of graduate school and got into healthcare purely by accident and by networking. But once I got in, realized, you know, I can use my business acumen to help people in a meaningful way. And so you've just realized that a lot earlier than I did. But you come from circumstances that, you know, honestly, I don't identify with. I can't. You know, I've lived a pretty blessed life here, you know, growing up in North Texas and now in Central Texas. And so, you know, I always appreciate hearing stories like yours. You know, somebody that has had to fight for everything that they've received, and healthcare, I think, you know, it's the epitome of that. People are fighting every day for something. You know, their health, their mental health, their physical health, or whatever. So, you know, so how did you get to, and I know you had some other positions there in Gillette, but how did you ultimately get into your first healthcare job?
So I had previously been an organic chemist, mm-hmm. and, you know, this was the point where I knew I wanted to get into healthcare. A large part of this also is because of the mindset I grew up in. You know, people from my kind of background are often told you need a PhD, MD, or JD. You need a terminal degree or you can't be successful whatsoever. And so I fell into that mindset and I went the PhD route because I was thinking to myself, well, this is how you do it. This is how you be successful. As I learned more, as I matured, I realized that wasn't the case, and that really caused me to think about what I want my career to be. And so briefly did some grants management for a youth nonprofit in Gillette. That's what originally brought me to Gillette, Wyoming. And I saw that the healthcare system here was looking for someone to head their public relations and really be the face of the hospital. I've referred to this before. I call it positive audacity. I put my application in, even though I thought I had no shot in the world, because it wanted like 5 to 7 years of strategic communications experience dealing with crises. I had zero. Now, what I had done was given a couple of TEDx talks, and I thought maybe, just maybe, if someone looks at my resume, I might get a call, but I wasn't betting on it. I got a call, and I, you know, I remember sitting down with the chief operating officer of the system. He is a really good personal friend now. And he said to me, you know, Niberto, what in the world is a chemist doing applying for a public relations role? That was his first thing he said to me. And he said, the only reason that you're sitting here right now is because I watched your TED Talks. And my first TED Talk was called The Benefit of Circumstance. It was how I, you know, the journey that I had gone through up until that point. I was 17 when I gave that TED Talk. And he saw how I was able to take such a negative circumstance and not necessarily be overly optimistic about it, but to be able to look at the lessons from it and to be able to say, yes, this was really awful circumstances, but it made me who I am and it gave me such power to be who I am today. When he saw that, his thought was, you know, this system is going through a lot right now. At the time, they were risking insolvency by 2025. There was a whole article in Cowboy State Daily, which is our big statewide paper. And there was just a lot of negative PR and community relations. So I stepped into this not even knowing how to put together a press release. So I was learning on the fly. But, you know, he gave me that chance. And in my life, it has been a handful of people who have been willing to just give a chance to someone who has potential. You know, I think one of the big lessons I've learned, it goes both ways. It's a two-sided street. One, you have to be willing to reach out to people. I put myself in these situations. I applied to jobs. I reached out to people. But you also have to find that right person who is willing to take a chance on you. And the more you reach out, the more chances like that you're going to get. And that got me into healthcare. You know, talking to he was then COO, no longer with the organization. You know, he mentored me and drove me to complete a master's in healthcare administration, which, fun fact about that, I didn't realize this until the day I graduated. It was exactly 8 years to the day that I had graduated high school, and such an important date for me, because when I had graduated high school, for me, that was, I broke my chains, I'm free, I did it. So just a really, really neat to have graduated with my MHA exactly 8 years later.
That's incredible. I mean, what a great story. You know, and I love, you talk about one of my favorite topics, mentorship. You know, and that's something that I found early on in my healthcare career, that healthcare leaders are very attuned to mentoring the next generation. And that's something that I've really tried to be involved in, you know, through American College of Healthcare Executives, both formally and informally, and really look to, you know, what can I do to help that, you know, the next generation of leaders. And you're exactly right. You know, all you have to do, honestly, is ask. You know, I had a tremendous mentor, kind of like you. You know, getting into healthcare, I was coming from another industry and knew I wanted to make a change, but I didn't know what. And my mentor, Russ Harrington, who was president of Baptist Health in Little Rock, knew I was conflicted. And he said, send me a resume. I don't know what we have. And about 7-8 weeks later, I started the business development function for a freestanding rehabilitation hospital, and it went from there. But being willing to, as you said, being willing to ask, and then once you get into that situation, being willing to give back and being willing to mentor other people is huge. So let's talk a little bit about your book. You know, in your motivational speeches, your TED Talks, you know, you said there have been some people who said, you know, what you've done is pretty meteoric, and so, good for you. You use that in a book title. What's the title of your book? And tell us a little bit about what that's about.
So it's Meteoric, a Memoir Against All Odds. And I tell my story of you know, going from, and it's been a long journey, but going from homeless and really broke kid in an abusive household to someone who is a homeowner, husband, father, has a career. You know, it takes five generations to break the cycle of poverty on average in America. I did it in 5 years. All of this happened by the time I was 23. I already had two kids by then. We kind of did things on an accelerated pace, just everything and becoming a homeowner and all of that. But it's been really fun. And I tell that entire journey, you know, it starts all the way at the very beginning, because even from my youngest days, there was some stability there, but you could see the cracks and how it just escalates over time. And I love the way that I told it, because it's episodic and it goes over time, and you begin to see how I became the person I am today. You know, one of the people who tested out the book for me, one of the first people who read it, you know, she was saying that you can't put it down because there are so many open ends that you want to be closed, but you have to wait until you get to those parts down the line for it to all make sense. I also end the book, which is really important to me, I end it with how other people can do it too. So, you know, through my experiences and through my life, I determined that there were four elements that really stood out to me and that stand out to other people. What makes a person meteoric? And so that is, you know, be more, which is ambition, persistence, which is do more, decisiveness, which is say more, and being unbreakable, which is living more. Those four qualities set people apart. And I teach people how they can do that also in the book. I give some actionable strategies to enhance those skills, to enhance those muscles, because really all four of those are muscles that we can train and get better at.
That's incredible. Yeah. Whenever you sent over your note to me about being on the podcast, you mentioned that. Those four traits really struck me, because that's something that anybody in any situation, you know, if you apply those, you've got a really good chance of being incredibly successful. And it was great. You were talking about, you know, that first job and having the audacity to apply when you really weren't qualified. And so many people, again, in healthcare, that's how they originally got in. They just had the guts to apply. I know years ago there was a position that, you know, they wanted a nurse. They wanted somebody with 10 years of managed care experience to take over this physician network and accountable care organization. Well, I'd been in healthcare for 20 some odd years, but I definitely not a clinician and didn't have 10 years of managed care experience, but went in there and had the guts to ask for it and laid out my plan, and they pivoted. And oftentimes, you know, if you run into a good healthcare leader that is, you know, willing to be flexible and willing to see things through a different lens, you know, you can make your case. And, you know, as long as you're going to provide value and really give those solid results, hey, you know, if somebody comes to me like that now and they lay something out, absolutely, I'm going to give them a chance. But, you know, being ambitious and certainly being persistent, because, you know, in this industry, there's a lot of things that can really knock you down, right? I mean, you've learned that pretty quickly, I'm sure. But being persistent and really, you know, recognizing the long-term missional aspects of healthcare. You know, when you boil it down, you take the for-profit side, the not-for-profit side, faith-based, you know, community, whatever. What we do in healthcare is we help people, you know, and that's, you know, if you keep focused on that throughout your career, that, you know, every day I'm coming to work to help somebody, you're going to be pretty successful. And then, you know, thanks for putting in decisiveness, because that's something that really gets on my, you know, gets on my nerves, because a lot of people have great ideas, but they can't make a decision, right? You know, but you were able, you know, throughout your life, you were the adult. you were the adult making these decisions, and you made decisions for yourself. I mean, that were just incredible. And, you know, I think you term it unbreakability, but I look at it as resilience. Man, you didn't let anything keep you down. And that's incredible. So, you know, this summer, you start your fellowship at Intermountain Help. Do you have any idea on the projects yet? Do you know where you're going to be, what they want you to do?
I think this is actually around the time where we're going to start discussing that, okay. What some of those rotations are going to look like. You know, some of the things that I've thought of is focusing on the rural aspects of the Intermountain system, because they've got quite a few rural areas that they serve. So I'm really excited about that. In talking to the people that I met over there, just so many ideas, so many projects that I could work on. I think telehealth is one of those big ones for me that, you know, it's a game changer for rural areas, but it's complicated and nuanced in the sense that we look at telehealth as being able to bridge that rural divide, but there's also some of the social determinants of health, such as broadband access. You know, one of the communities that's near ours, Hewlett, the people over there, by and large, do not have access to broadband internet access. They cannot connect through telehealth in, you know, a video chat sort of way. So you have to connect with them over phone. But when you look at the demographics that, you know, telehealth would often serve, a lot of the underserved populations, those are the ones who often lack stable access to internet. So there's so many elements in there that I'd love to dig into. How can we address some of these social determinants of health to really make healthcare access more equitable, more accessible? So that's some of what I'm excited to do over there with Intermountain. Also really excited to experience healthcare at their level, at their scale. You know, the hospital I worked with over here was 90 beds. And you look at what they've got in Salt Lake, hundreds upon hundreds of beds. It's going to be so different, so exciting to be in that environment and with all those leaders to get their mentorship.
That's great. So you are relocating to Salt Lake City?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I've had the opportunity to go there a couple of times. It's beautiful. Oh my gosh, I was very impressed with it. I wish you well there. Yeah, and again, yeah, I don't think I have to tell you this, but take full advantage of it. You know, ask, be inquisitive. You know, that's another trait I know I can already tell you have, but ask those questions of everybody and just soak it in. How long's your internship or your fellowship?
12 months.
Okay, good, good. But I think that's going to be it's going to be wonderful. So Norberto Arellano, 10 years from now, where are you and what are you doing?
10 years from now, I see myself, you know, really making a monumental difference in the world. And what that looks like to me is doing a lot more speaking, a lot more advocacy for healthcare. You know, I could see myself, you know, being in the CEO's chair at a healthcare system, but, you know, doing a lot of speaking, whether it's with schools, with businesses, because I believe the message that I have is something that people really need to hear. I think everyone tells us to, you know, dial it back a little bit in our dreams, to be more realistic, and, you know, every goal should be a SMART goal. Whereas I'm saying we need to have big, lofty, dangerous goals that make us, you know, dangerous in this world, in what we can accomplish, what we can achieve. I really love that question, because one of the things that I teach when it comes to ambition is I have folks, and, you know, everyone listening should definitely do this. Think about who you want to be 10 years from now. What's that person look like? What are they doing? What's their career? What's their family life like? Where do they live? But the most important aspect of the exercise is to write down in as much detail as possible who you are as a person, behaviors. Are you generous? Are you more kind? What's your attitude like? And what makes this experiment so powerful is at the end of it, my guidance, my instruction is to start being that person right now. You don't have the material goods. You might not have the connections. You might not have the career, but you have yourself. And chances are the things that you've written down about yourself 10 years from now, that person's a little different. And you can start acting like that person today. And so I love doing that exercise with myself so that I can start being that person. Because when you do that, you're going to become that person eventually.
Well, you're exactly right. And because you can visualize it. I mean, you're laying those goals out and, you know, keeping those in the forefront. And then that way you just continue to work towards that. And oftentimes you surprise yourself and you figure out, you know what, I'm really already mainly that person. You know, I may not have that position. I may not be living in that location, but you know, my basic traits, my basic characteristics, I'm already that person. And you may not be living those out in the best of your ability today, but it helps to encourage you to do that in the future. So, okay. So I want to help you push your book. So how do people find your book?
It is available on Amazon. It is
just like everything else, of course.
Yep. So folks can find it on Amazon. It's available both as ebook and paperback. Meteoric, a memoir against all odds, since it is a fairly unique title. Once you start looking up Meteoric, a memoir, it just auto-populates. You'll find it.
Okay, if I get on Amazon, do I get an option of getting an autographed book, Norberto? I mean, I want an autographed copy.
Well, we'll have to do that off of Amazon.
Okay. That sounds great. That sounds great. Well, any last words from my audience? This has been incredible. I've really enjoyed it. It's been, dare I say, meteoric.
You know, what I would say is anyone listening who wants to reach out, my email, I use my name, which is really long and but it is what it is. It's Norberto@NorbertoOrellana.com. And really just encourage anyone to reach out. Would love to chat and answer any questions about, you know, what it means to be meteoric and, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I'll leave you with this. Another quick story. As I escaped homelessness, life wasn't a straight road because it rarely is. And, you know, I lost a part of my spark briefly in that time. I began to wonder if what I was doing was enough. I convinced myself that I had to do everything by myself, that I was on my own, that I had to figure it out all on myself, and that myself just wasn't good enough. So despite all that I had achieved, despite all that I had done in college, I actually nearly took my own life twice. And that second time, I thought to myself, you know, after all that I had done, after all that I had achieved, is this really how my story's meant to end? And the other question I asked myself is, do I really have to do it on my own? And I learned that I can't do it on my own because I'm not wired that way. And the vast majority of people aren't wired that way. The hardest thing for me to do was to take the time to invest in myself. And so I surrounded myself with mentors, with colleagues, with teachers and friends. And I had to tell you, now that I've got people in my corner, I'm loving life. And so, you know, I know there are a lot of people, especially in healthcare, who are trying to do it on their own. They feel stuck. They might feel afraid, uncertain, and they're doing it alone like I once did. And you know what I want those folks to know is you don't have to do it alone. And even though the people listening, I've never met them, I'm 100% bought in on them, what they can do, what they're capable of. I'm in their corner. And you know, that's why I also say reach out, anyone out there, because you don't have to do it alone. I'd be happy to walk this journey with you, answer any questions. because what I've learned is these kinds of moments are never the end of your story. They're just the beginning.
Boy, I really appreciate you sharing that, because that's going to speak to a number of people in the audience, you know, because so many of us in healthcare, you know, there's a lot of big egos, let's just be honest. And people try to do things on their own, and you're exactly right. It's next to impossible to do that. So I really appreciate you saying that. Norberto Arellano, it's been just a distinct pleasure for me to have you on I Don't Care. And I wish you the best of luck. I hope we can stay in touch. Would love to have you come back on sometime down the road and share with my audience what great accomplishments that you've had, because I know you're going to have many.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on. It's been a really great experience. Great.
I appreciate that. Thanks again for joining me on I Don't Care with Dr. Kevin Stevenson this week. And we'll see you next time.